enjoy hearing her sing. That was good. That's what he says to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient." Turn to the book of Luke chapter 9 with me tonight, please. Verse 28. They're having a good Bible school and good turnout. Pray for them up there. They've worked hard. The teachers have worked hard. And it's a lot of effort, man. And stand to this hot weather. Hot weather. Hot. So that makes it that much harder. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. It came to pass about 8 days after these things. When you see 8 days show up in the Bible, that's new beginning. That's what it means. New beginning. He took Peter, John, and James and went up into a high mountain, into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Father, bless your word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is quite a remarkable thing here. I know I've touched on it a few times the last few weeks, but look what's going on. We have 2 men that lived hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus. Moses, 1,400 years before Christ. That's a long time. And then we have Elias the prophet, hundreds of years separated from Moses. And so we have 2 men that show up to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ on top of this mountain. Now, note carefully. Moses and Elijah talked to the Lord Jesus. That was the purpose of their ministry. They might not have understood everything about it, but I'll guarantee you this. They came from the other world, from the other side, to give their approval to our Lord Jesus Christ, thus connecting those living now with those that have gone on. You've got both sides appearing here, Moses and Elijah. And they give witness to the glory of God, because it says over here that in verse number 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Both of these men, Moses and Elijah, have a lot of things in common. Both of them came from obscurity. Moses had tried when he was 40 years old to deliver Israel. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he thought that God was going to use him, but it didn't happen. So he spent the next 40 years of his life in the backside of the desert of Midian. That meant that Moses was 80 years of age before he could ever come, and God could use him to deliver Israel. You see, God doesn't get in a hurry. He has no clocks. And when he gets ready to do a thing, he's going to do it. And I want to tell you something else. Moses was a broken man. And Moses was a man who had felt like, "I totally failed you, Lord. Why are you calling me now?" Because this is what he was saying at the burning bush. He said, "I tried. I failed. Go find somebody else." And the Lord, of course, makes no mistakes. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Same with Elijah. When Elijah came up from Tish, wherever that is, nobody's ever been able to find it. He was a Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite. He didn't come through the school of the prophets. He just showed up one day. In plain words, Elijah came from obscurity, just like Moses. And both of these men had times in their lives when they were totally and completely defeated. They were broken men. And the truth of the matter is, folks, the only person that God can ever really use is somebody that's been broken. He broke the bread and blessed it and gave it. You see, one of the biggest obstacles of God using you or me is our own strength. The Bible said His strength is made perfect in weakness. So God had to prepare both of these men. And they came and they ministered and they did what they were called to do. And then, lo and behold, here they come out of glory. And they see the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's quite a remarkable thing. Now, what you have with these 2 men, Moses represents the law, the Torah, and Elijah, the prophets. And that's 2 major parts of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh, as the Jews call it. 2 parts. Moses, the law, Five books of Moses, the foundation of all the Bible. If you took the first five books of the Bible out, the Bible wouldn't make any sense at all, because it makes so many references back to the books of Moses. And then there's Elijah, Eliyah. Elohim is Jehovah, is what his name means. And the Bible says that they came from obscurity. They represent two worlds, the living and those that have passed on. Be careful tonight that you may entertain an angel unawares, for angels can appear as men. An angel can appear as a man. The study of angels, I've been doing it a little while, these past 40-something years, and I've learned some things about angels that is just not part of the mainstream. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But their lives were over on this earth, yet they were still ministering. They had lived out their lifetime, yet they were still ministering. Now, don't you think about that for a moment. A lot of people say, "Well, now, preacher, can those that have passed on know what's going on this earth?" Well, they did. They did. They were called from glory, and they came back to this world. And God, of course, had a special use for them. I don't think it's just a general thing where people in glory that are enjoying the blessings and presence of God at the same time are witnessing all of the suffering and the sorrow in this world. I don't really believe that, no. But I do believe that God can do anything. There are no barriers with Him. And if He intends to do something, He'll do it. So He brought them back. I want you to notice what they said here in verse 31, because this is important. Look at this. Luke 9:31. "Who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem." Now, all this is going on while the disciples are asleep. They're taking their nap. It's like Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus had gone and He was praying and He was battling Satan. They were asleep, you see. They were asleep. And here we have all three, Peter, James, and John, asleep. Look at verse 32. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw His glory." And all of a sudden, when they waken, they're faced with this beautiful glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is shining brighter than the sun. But I have every reason to believe that Moses and Elijah had come down here with some glory wrapping around them too. Oh yeah. They were in glorified bodies when they appeared there on top of that mountain. And so when these disciples awakened and saw this, they thought, "My goodness, we're surrounded with glory, the glory of God." And it shook them to their very core. And of course, this is why they said, "Let us build three tabernacles." And there was a voice from heaven said, no, just one tabernacle. This is My beloved Son, My Son. Nobody else stands on the same level as Him. But now go back to verse 31. "Who appeared in glory, Moses, Elijah, with the Lord Jesus Christ on top of a mountain, brighter than the noonday sun, and they are talking to the Lord Jesus." Note what they're talking about. Look at verse 31. "Who appeared in glory and spake of His decease." Now, if you look that up in the Greek text, you know what it'd say? Exodus. That's the Greek word, exodus. What does exodus mean? It means to leave. For example, the children of Israel had spent 400 years in Egypt and they exited. That's where our word exit, you see it all over the doors here. Exodus, it means to leave, okay? Now, notice the nuance of it here. Leave. See, we're not talking about, it says that they, that in verse number 31, "of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem." Notice this. This is speaking in high terminology. He's exiting, but his process of exiting, He's going to accomplish something. He's leaving. Now, He said, "I am from above. You're from beneath. I'm going back to My Father." And He did go back to His Father. He exited this thing. But do you know what? Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was part of an exodus, wasn't he? And so here he is talking to the Lord Jesus Christ about an exodus. And what did Elijah do at the top of Carmel? If God's God, serve Him. If Baal's God, serve Baal. He led them, exited them out of their apostasy and their idolatry. You need an Elijah every once in a while, folks. You do. You need an Elijah. You need one to show up. And when they have a burning desire in their heart, they know their call. And boy, do we need one today. My goodness gracious. So the Bible said, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, his exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So his death was a death that accomplished something. Note carefully now. Moses and Elijah is bearing witness, look at verse number 31, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. See that? They're talking to him about the salvation of mankind. Moses and Elijah. And here they are talking to him. Now Luke records this for us, and he wants you to understand there's something going on here that we should look into and look into carefully. The last thing he said on the cross was, it is finished. He accomplished what he came to do. He finished the work. Now there was in Korea a so-called Messiah who rose up and said, and he had thousands of followers, and he rose up and said that Christ failed in his mission. And so the Spirit has come upon him to restore what Christ failed. No man has ever pumped himself up any higher than that, with arrogant ignorance, self-loving individual like that, to say the Lord Jesus failed in what he came to do. Oh, no, 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 folks. He did not fail. He offered up the atonement, Yom Kippur. The only way that man can be made right with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way, folks. That's the only way. And it's the only thing that can wash your sins away is the blood of Christ. That's all. That's all. That's all. Just that. And so he's going to accomplish his death. Now, note carefully. This is the consummation of Moses' ministry at this point. He's fully happy with it. He's all into it. This is what he's about. The Lord your God shall raise up unto thee a prophet like unto me. That's what Moses said. Well, here's that prophet. Here's that prophet. You see, prophets die in the Bible. Priest, minister in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ lived his life on this earth as a prophet. But then when he rose from the dead, he went to the right hand of the Father as a priest. And he ministers tonight as the high priest. Amen. And so he is prophet, priest, and then he's going to be king when he comes in glory. John said, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. And he had a crown. And his name is called the Word of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So we have Moses and we have Elijah. The Lord Jesus Christ shall appear and bring his people back to the Father. And that's exactly what's going on here. Now, there's a whole lot more here. I've covered some of it when we noticed the time element here after 8 days. And we noticed that we have an offering of a kingdom of heaven given to them. We're not going to get into all that tonight because that's not really the focus of what's going on. But I want to call attention to something that's going on here now. Look at verse 32. Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Don't you notice how remarkable thing it is that when you get into something spiritual like this, that the human flesh wants to sleep? You ever notice that? The flesh is so different. The spirit lusteth against the flesh against the spirit, contrary to one another. There's no fellowship. There's no communion between the flesh and the spirit. None whatsoever. My flesh has given me a fit, and I'm going to say to it one day, see you later, alligator, because I'm leaving out of here, amen. And I'm not taking you with me. So I don't appreciate that. That's too bad. God saved my soul, and my spirit is born again. Hallelujah. So they were heavy with sleep. Now that's the same thing that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, pray with me, watch with me for 1 hour. Their eyes were heavy. And they slept. They couldn't watch with him for 1 hour. You notice the Bible talks about prayer being a time of watching. That's remarkable, isn't it? A time to watch. You see, elements that make up a prayer are far and vast. Many, many, many. A prayer is not words. A prayer brings together in that human being, a person who calls upon God, all that makes life what life is and everything that has to do with the battle that rages and who you are and your relationship with the Lord. Watch with me for 1 hour. They couldn't do that. But the Bible says that in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 11, that when he'd been tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, angels came and ministered to him. That's quite remarkable. They ministered to him. You often wonder what they ministered, don't you? They ministered to him. They could have quoted scriptures, could be many of the Psalms and all that. We don't know. But they ministered the word to him from God. They came to him to give him what God had to say about who he was and what he was going through. Because he said, I live by that. And if you notice here at Gethsemane, it tells us that an angel came and ministered to him when he was pouring his soul out to God. An angel came, strengthened him as he went through what he did. We forget, folks, that the atonement at the cross at Calvary was accomplished by a man who feels the same pain you do, gets tired like you do, hurts like you do, and dies like you do. It was accomplished by a man. Now understand, he was the God-man, no question. He never once relinquished his deity, not one time. Paul made it plain, Philippians 2, thought it not robbery to be with God. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ fully and completely gave himself. So he had some giving and some battles to fight before he ever got to the cross. Sure did. And these angels came and they ministered to him. Now, don't you notice what we have here? We've got Moses and Elijah. We've got two witnesses. In the book of Zechariah, it talks about the two witnesses, the olive trees that stand by the God of the whole earth. And there's an odd thing there because it's kind of a bowl and it has these things that fold over and the oil runs down into the bowl. And it says these are the two olive trees that stand by the God of the whole earth. This is an anointing. This is a special anointing that these two have. Something that's remarkable. Now, when you get to the book of Revelation, chapter number 11, it quotes that scripture. It quotes it and tells you that these are the two olive. Now, I want to give you tonight what a brother. I was reading his book the other day, and he had something to say about this. And I'd never heard it anywhere, but what he had to say I thought was pretty good. My two witnesses at the Mount of Transfiguration that we're talking about in here tonight, who shows up? Moses and Elijah, right? They're the two witnesses of the Lord. Well, in the book of Revelation, you have a confrontation between Moses and Elijah and the Antichrist for 3.5 years. You do. They come from the world of light. They come back down to this earth. This is the second time now. They're coming down to this earth and they are confronting the Antichrist, Pseudo-Christos. That's what he is. Pseudo means false. Christos, false Christ. They confront him. He'd better get ready because the heavens are going to open and the real Christ is going to come out of it. And he's going to come and take the Antichrist and he's going to cast him into the lake of fire and brimstone where he'll be for 1,000 years until the end of the millennial reign. They show up in Revelation to confront the Antichrist. But did you know at the resurrection, the Bible says there's two men standing there? Two men standing there when the disciples came to that tomb. Two men. Now here's what that brother says, and I have no reason to disagree with him. He says, why would it be that these two men are Moses and Elijah? For they're there to witness again of a great thing that's happening in the life of the Lord. He's been raised from the dead. In the book of Acts chapter number 1, when he ascends to heaven, what does it say there? Two men. Well, you say, preacher, these are angels, all right? Let's understand what an angel is. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a manifestation of the very presence and essence of God. That's the angel of the Lord. But sometimes an angel from the Lord shows up in the Old Testament, and he's serving the office of a messenger or something of that nature. But it gets a little deeper when you get into the New Testament. For the Lord Jesus Christ talks about children. He said, their angel doth behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Talking about little children. You know, just a few days ago, 19 little children went to heaven. All at one time, and an 18 or 19-year-old, whatever he was, went to hell. He went to hell the same day they went to heaven. They're in heaven now. They'll never suffer again. Nobody will ever blow their face off again. these little children. Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom. So here we have the ascension of Christ. Very well could have been Moses and Elijah there as witness. And then finally, we have them show up. Look at this. Mount of Transfiguration, the revelation against the Antichrist, the resurrection and the ascension, Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses had power to call fire down from heaven. Elijah had power to call fire down from heaven, and Moses could turn water to blood. And that's exactly what happens over here in the book of Revelation. You remember the message I preached to you Sunday morning? The Lamb of God. Remember I told you that shows up 27 times in the book of Revelation. Why? It's God wanting you to understand something. That everything that happens in the book of Revelation relates one way or another to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Amen. And it starts with a sea of glass, a throne, 24 elders. Cease not crying day and night, 24/7. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. So it's about the Lamb. The Bible says, hide us from the face of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come. So that's a different study in itself, but it's trying to get across the point. In His weakness, He destroyed Satan. In His weakness, note carefully now, in His weakness, He received the full complement and power of Almighty God and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. He did not die with the power of a man. He died with the complete faith and power of God sustaining Him, and then He gave His life back to the Father at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No man could have accomplished that but the God-man. And that's what He did. He did it, the God-man. Now the Father testifies of His Son. The Father does. On top of this mountain, you remember there was a voice that came from the cloud. And according to Scripture, these three were up there along with Moses and Elijah and the Lord Jesus. Okay? You got six. But then Moses and Elijah all of a sudden disappear. But they're standing in a cloud. The Scripture says that literally fire, like fire, light shooting forth from Christ. He was glowing Himself, but this was shooting out. Such magnificent glory as no man had ever seen before. And I'll tell you right now, it took the breath of those away. And God spoke from heaven when they wanted to build three tabernacles and said, this is My beloved Son. This is My Son. This is My Son. He spoke again in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when John baptized Him in the Jordan River. He spoke again, spoke out of heaven, said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then in John chapter number 12 and verse number 30, turn over there with me. Let's read this one. Because He speaks again. John 12. All right. Look at verse number 28. Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to Him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of Me, but for your sakes. The Lord Jesus Christ had a communion with the Father that no man's ever had. He could hear the voice of God like no man's ever been able to hear the voice of God. He could work and do what He did by the finger of God, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Everything He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So what have you got? You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost acting in unison while He was here, just as they acted in unison at the creation. The mind of the Father produces what the Son sends forth to do, and it is done by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters and brought from tohu va bohu utter destruction, chaos, he brought into order and beauty. You know, this earth is still, even though it's fallen, it's a beautiful thing. I had a pot last year. I bought some flowers. I bought a flower full of pot. Pot full of flower. I love it. You ever get messed up? All right. I bought a pot full of flowers, beautiful flowers. I photographed them. I love flowers. Well, the summer passed and they died out, and all I was left with was a pot of dirt. I said, well, I need to throw that away. But I thought, well, you know, I can get around to it. Well, it wasn't that long ago, this summer, just a few weeks back, this little old thing popped up out of the ground, out of that pot. Just a little old thing, nothing to it. I thought, well, a soul, what's that? And so I allowed it to grow. And when it did, it started sending forth these leaves, like the flower that I had last year, a perennial, you know. And I said, hold on. But then it did that, and it sat there, and it grew leaves, and it grew leaves, and it grew leaves, and it grew leaves. And I thought, no big deal with leaves. What do you want leaves for? And then 2 or 3 days ago, it started shooting up bulbs, and it had 6 or 7 or 8 of them in that pot. And one of them opened up, and I photographed it this morning, beautiful flower. And I almost threw it away. Isn't that something? In its due time, have patience, and you can appreciate the glory of God. Have you ever looked at a flower? This has what is the petal inside? They're that long. Beautiful yellow flower. The Bible talks about a pearl in the snout of a swine. It says, cast not that which is holy to the dogs. God has put beauty in this world, and you can appreciate it if you'll try to find it. It's here. Even though this world has fallen and right now under a curse, imagine what's going to happen in the millennium when the curse is gone. It's all removed. And this earth, what the Bible says, the desert will blossom like a rose. This will be completely turned around, and you can walk in the midst of the flowers. You know, the truth is, and I'll shut up with this, that flower has more beauty to me than a street of gold. Yes, it does. Because that flower is a living thing. And there's beauty there. There's beauty. So what about the flower out in the forest, preacher? Man doesn't see. What's it out there for? God sees it. All things were made by Him and for Him. Amen. He sees it. Father, thank You, Lord, for the little time we've had together tonight. I pray I've said something to encourage someone. Bless the good folk with the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, get them in Your Word and get them on their knees, reading the Bible and praying. Make them have good homes and their children to be obedient and grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Father, bless our little Bible school that's going on right now, the little children up there. Lord, I pray they have a good time. I pray they understand the lessons that have been taught to them. I pray You'd bless the workers and everything that's done for the glory of God. Be with them now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.